Grace, mercy, and peace be yours, God our Father, and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you still live in the same house you were born and raised in? Anybody? That's what I thought. Hardly any. The ones we know, if we know any, are a rare exception, right? We find it fitting to live in a house for a time until compelled to move to another one, usually because of a life change, right? A new job, growing children or the growing number of children, retirement, or downsizing, or sometimes upsizing because the kids and the grandkids move back in with you. A person in the U.S. is expected to move 11.4 times on average in his or her lifetime, once approximately every 7 years. In a sense, life is all about moving from one house to another. So it is with God's people in the Scriptures. What we heard in the text today before the Ten Commandments were these words from our God. He says, I am the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Out of the house of slavery. That defines what it was like in Egypt for God's people. The house of slavery. It started as a safe haven from famine, but 430 years later, it became a house of slavery, a forced economic relationship between the Hebrews and the Egyptians. So God called them out of that house and into a new house. You might call it God's house, a house of redemption. And every house like that has rules. All houses have rules. And we heard those rules given to us out of God, called them out of that house, and into his new house, he gave them rules for the house, the Ten Commandments that we heard. Those were the rules. But let me ask you, when you think about it, which came first, the rules or God delivering them or doing something for them to bring them out? First, there was God's deliverance, right? Then came the rules. God does something gracious, delivering activity first, then he gives the rules, as if to say, because I have brought you out, these are the things that my people do. They flow from God's gracious, merciful work of calling us out before he gives us the rules of the house to live by. And indeed, those rules we know have been written on our hearts. You shall not kill, for example. Every culture recognizes you shouldn't kill. You can't take somebody else's wife. All the things of the Ten Commandments, like a law above the law, a transcendent law above all other laws, the Ten Commandments. Those are the rules for God's house. When you think of where God took them into the Promised Land, that was a place where they built the house of God. They call it the temple, the tabernacle at first, later the temple. And that was a house that had rules too, rules for worship, worship laws. And look how over time, just like what happened in Egypt, where the house became corrupt and they were forced into slavery, over time, what happened to God's house? It was no longer a house of redemption, a house of love, of worship, of God's presence. It became a house most associated with where you had to go at Passover to get an exchange of money in order to make your sacrifice to pay the shekel tax, the temple tax at Passover time. And so the house was full of money changers and lots of animals for people to come buy their animals and exchange their money because you can't use Roman money. It has the image of Caesar on it. You got to use pure money that has no images on it, no graven images in God's house. And the house was corrupt because people were becoming broke for exchanging funds to pay their tax, their temple tax. People were being forced into debt, forced slavery in a sense of God's own people in their own ways, forcing people to be broke and living in the streets of Jerusalem because they couldn't pay the tax. That's what you call house corruption. And we're not even talking about the United States, are we? So Jesus comes to this house three times in his ministry here in John 2. And what does he do? Does he say, wow, this house is wonderful. It's the house that God's people built? No, he builds a cord of whips, a whip of cords, I should say, and he drives out the money changers, he drives out the animals and everything, and he says, don't make my father's house a house of trade. As if this house has been corrupted into that which is associated with buying and selling rather than on the mercy and the redemption of God. What God had done to deliver his people out of slavery and into the promised land. Out of forced economic activity into the freedom to worship him and to receive his merciful, steadfast love, his forgiveness freely. They had corrupted it. And therefore, Jesus, being zealous to bring back the old way, the real thing, he drives out the money changers, he drives out the animals. And as I like to point out, what happens when all the animals and all the money changers are out of God's house? What's left? Only one lamb. That is Christ himself. How appropriate, because he is the only sacrifice God's people really need. All those other sacrifices were just types of the real thing to come, just shadows of what Christ is, the true sacrifice, the lamb in place of Isaac for Abraham, in place of us for our sin. The substitute for sin is in the temple. Therefore, he's zealous for that to take place, isn't he? He's zealous to bring God's love and mercy to the people so they don't have to think they can buy it themselves. Buying will not help you have forgiveness. You can't buy God's love. You can't buy heaven. You can't buy an animal and be forgiven. God has to buy it for you. You don't serve this house. This house serves you. And look how God's people turned it into a house of trade. So he cleaned the house, Jesus did. He came with some righteous anger. And Luther pointed out, this isn't the kind of anger that just because he's upset, but he was angry because of the love of God. Because God's love has been corrupted. So he was zealous and angry and made a whip and drove him out. Well, a question for us to think about today, if not a house of trade and not a house of slavery, what kind of house ought God's house to be? How about the house that God built? How about a house that justifies sinners by grace, not buying and selling? A house that justifies sinners by Christ's fulfillment of the law. All those sacrifices are now replaced by his. Whereas Luther says in the Catechism, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death that he bought us back. And not from slavery, but from sin, from the slavery to die, the slavery of the devil and this world, to live in the freedom that has eternal life and an eternal house, a home both heaven and earth joined together in Christ, a house of holiness and grace. You don't serve this temple serves you. And so therefore Jesus says, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. In 3 days, he'll raise this temple. Because that brick and mortar temple is nothing in God's sight. It was made by human hands. But the house that God provides, the house of Jesus' body, destroy it, and they did, and God will raise it in 3 days. What sign does he do? The resurrection of the dead in himself to show the Father's love for sinners. The way God redeems mankind and delivers them from death and hell to bring them into the eternal places to be with him forever. Such faith, being informed and inspired by God's word, gives us pause today to reflect on our worship. How is God's house known today? I suppose even pastor and the planning council at Praise, maybe sometimes we have to do those things to satisfy the state, don't we, to have a budget and for our voters to show fiscal responsibility. We have to follow things and register with the state. And we also have to, you know, file certain things and documents and look at building plans and brick and mortar issues and have a property committee. But the question is, do we ever get slaves to numbers? and slaves to giving trends? If so, we need to repent and remember what this house is really all about, a place where Jesus comes with gifts to redeem us, to buy us back from sin and death and hell with his own body and his blood. Thankfully, we don't worship a budget, and we don't worship numbers. We worship Christ and all that he is and has done for us. So it is about life. Life is all about moving from one house to another, from slavery in Egypt to the promised land for the Old Testament people, for us now from slavery to sin, daily and deadly sin, to the promised forgiveness in God's house, the temple not made with human hands, the temple of the body of Christ Jesus, the temple that has already been raised, and so will we, in order to move once again from this world to the next, glorious and eternal. Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Above all, when you think of God's house, think of Jesus and these words. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.